We are in the book of Genesis, and we are on the 32nd chapter. I was trying to cover this last week because the particular chapter is somewhat short, but at the same time, there's a lot of information within it, which I said, okay, I couldn't cover it last week. Next week, it's this chapter is kind of connected. These three chapters, 30, 31, 32, and 33, are all connected together in a sequence of patterns. And a reader, please.
Yaakov went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Yaakov saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And so he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Yaakov sent messengers before him to Esau his brother in the land of Seir, in the country of Edom, instructing them, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Yaakov, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male servants, and female servants. I have sent to tell my lord in order that I might find favor in his sight." The messengers returned to Yaakov, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you, and there are 400 men with him." Then Yaakov was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and herds and camels into two camps, thinking, "If Esau comes to one camp and attacks it, then the camp that is left will escape." And Yaakov said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Yitzhak, O Lord, who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good,' I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, 'I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.' So he stayed there that night, and from what he had with him he took a present for his brother Esau, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their calves, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. These he handed over to his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, 'Pass on ahead of me and put a space between drove and drove.' He instructed the first, 'When Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, to whom do you belong? Where are you going? And whose are these ahead of you? Then you shall say, they belong to your servant Yaakov. They are a present to my lord Esau, and moreover, he is behind us.' And he likewise instructed the second and the third and all who followed the droves, 'You shall say the same thing to Esau when you find him, and you shall say, moreover, your servant Yaakov is behind us.' For he thought, 'I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me, and afterward I shall see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.' So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself stayed that night in the camp. The same night he rose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford at the Abok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Yaakov was left alone. A man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Yaakov, he touched his hip, and Yaakov's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day is broken.' But Yaakov said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Yaakov.' Then he said, Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for saying, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been delivered. The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Yaakov's hip on the sinew of the thigh.
Any thoughts, ideas, questions?
It said he wrestled with God, but did he actually wrestle with God or with an angel, or do we know?
We'll talk about that, yes. We have to listen to what Hebrew was written there and knowing exactly what took place. We'll get to that in a minute, yes.
When was that last sentence added?
When? Much later in time. Much later. The very last sentence about the not eating a certain part, that was added much later by a, I'm not quite sure who added it. More than likely the priesthood would have added that under Ezra. That's my assumption. I do not know when it was added. It's definitely been added because this is not present tense. What's going on is ancient, looking back on time. So that's my answer to you. I don't have an answer to that question. Believe it or not, I really don't have an answer to that question. Okay, what seems, odd or unusual or questionable about this story? I want to call it a story.
Didn't he send his wife and his family on ahead of him? And so it's like, instead of saying women and children first, it's like,
women and children first.
I mean, you know, it's like, the opposite of what men are supposed to do to protect their family.
Correct. Okay. Yes, Rose.
He had 11 children at this time also.
Benjamin was not yet born. Are there any key phrases in here or any key wording in here that sounds familiar?
Isn't that scripture, I am not worthy of the least of the mercies of all the truth which you have shown your servant from across over this Jordan? Is that sort of like where I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof? I mean, it's verse number 10.
Verse 10, okay. I'll go back and look at verse number 10 for a minute. Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay, it's a pretty powerful statement he's making. Of course, you know, what verse am I going to start with? One? Verse one. What does verse one say? Oh, it says, and Jacob went on his way and... Malachim of Elohim met him. Now, we use the word Melech, meaning king, or Malachim, meaning kings. It also means angel or angels. Depends upon how you want to pronounce certain words in Hebrew, which way you want to put the vowel, one way or the other, but the three letters, are the same, and no matter what. Now, why would they meet up with Jacob?
Well, if the Lord is telling him, I want you to go, and he's sending messengers to let him know perhaps what the situation is going to be. It's kind of like when Abraham was told to get out of your country and go, and he doesn't have all the details yet. It's kind of as as the story unfolds, this is kind of like the same ballpark.
Ballpark, okay. Many of, by the way, hi, I haven't seen you for a while. Welcome. We have kind of taken this word of an angel meaning a messenger. Now, did they say anything?
No.
So, if they were given a message to Jacob, what were they given a message about?
God is with you.
You don't know? It doesn't say. So, what is the function of these malachim about? What are they supposed to do? Listen very carefully to the second verse. Pay attention to the second verse. What does it say? Or what?
Jacob saw that, he said, this is God's camp.
Oh, right. God's, yeah, host. So, what he saw was an army. I know some of your translations don't have it in that sentence, but in a sense, it's the power of the angelic world on Jacob's side. So they met him and he saw him. Wow. And then he used another word. Before we go on the other word, we talked about what host means, right? And basically, it can mean an army. Don't worry about that one. But the latter word is he called the place, name of the place. Now, Jacob's calling the name of the place a certain name. What was the name of the place? What does that mean? Two camps? That's fascinating. Two of them. Whoa. Now, what did he see? He saw the angelic world, two separate camps. That's what he saw. That's what he's telling him. Now, what did Jacob learn from the idea that there are two of them? What was he supposed to understand? Because I'll tell you, in this chapter, he understood it. Let's go on. Now, while he saw these two camps of Elohim, two armies, we don't know the number, doesn't make any difference, doesn't matter, it is more than one, there's several, or at least encampments of several. What is the function of an angel to do?
Minister,
servant.
Send a message.
To what?
To protect,
okay.
Destroy.
Sorry, what?
Sometimes to destroy.
Sometimes to destroy. Okay, I put it another way. Okay, we live in this place called the earth, right? There's one thing that controls your life and my life, and that is the law of physics. Is the angelic world controlled by the law of physics? No, but they are controlled by another law. That's an angelic law, which what they're supposed to do. Why did God create the angel in the first place for? For his joy?
Richard, it says in Psalm 91:11, it says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee and keep thee in all thy ways." So it is the angel's job to take care of us.
So the function of an angel is to do something. Now, we have two armies here, right? Now, what was Jacob troubled with? Very next verse says what? What did he do? Jacob sent messengers of his own, or malachim of his own, you want to use that word, and before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Now, Seir joined allies with Esau. They were two different kinds of people. They joined together as an ally for military reasons. They're not the same person. But they lived in a land called Edom. Now, what's Edom? That's what?
Iraq.
No. Iran. Saudi Arabia. Jordan. We're on the, he is not in the land of Canaan. Okay, let's put that point. Esau did not come from the land where his father was. He came from a land called Edom, which is named after whom? Himself. Alright? And so Sur became subservient to Edom. Keep that part in mind for much later information. And he commanded his servants to say unto them, say unto my Adonai, Esau, thy servant Jacob said this, I have sojourned and with Laban and so many slaves, and now I'm going to return back. So he sent a caravan on, and the messengers came back and said, oh, guess what? Verse 26. A couple of guys have come with Esau. 400! Now you remember the last encounter that Jacob had with Esau? I'm going to kill you. Mom's dead. I'm going to kill you. So that what put fear into him, correct? So the first thing Elohim presented to Jacob was, I have an army. And Jacob is still troubled with fear and doubt and questionable. Now you think after he saw the army, he would not be afraid of his brother Esau. He'd not be afraid of the 400 men, right? Logically thinking, well, look at the armies on my side compared to his. And mine, he can't even see. I can see them, but he can't see them. Right? Why was he afraid of his brother? Okay, let's continue on. Jacob, verse 7, was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people with them. Now he is separating his camp. Do you understand what that's all about? One camp went to the camp of the angelic world that was over here. The other camp went to the angelic world was over there. That's why it's called two encampments. So he did rely upon the angelic world to protect his family. Right? He relied on that. But, verse 11, he still had fear. Right? Do you see a pattern here? So when he divided his family, And if Esau would come, he's going to kill the family. And so to protect the family, he divided it under the protection of the angelic world here and the protection of the angelic world over there. You remember the dream he had about the angels coming and going? That was to assure him that the angelic world is there to fulfill the will of Elohim in Jacob's life. As simple as that. Now, the two encampments are pretty big. And he said here now, first thing that he said was, oh God, God of my father of Abraham and Isaac, Yahweh, you said something to me? Verse 9, remember what he said? Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee there. Oh. Now Jacob had to face a problem. Not only must he return back, and God says, I'll be with you. Now God says, I will deal with you. What did he have to deal with Jacob about? Make a deal? Make a covenant? Make a what? His fear? Okay. I want you to put in your world best as you can. Have you ever, or tried to have ever, or pictured yourself ever being so afraid that you're for sure that God's not even going to protect you? I'm not saying don't tell me the situation. I'm just saying, have you ever been, God's not on my side? And there it is, evidence. But you say, but he's not going to protect me. No, evidence, evidence. I'll deal with you and you go back home to your land, to the very, very spot where you raised that pillar up. He's not even there yet. And here comes his brother with 400 men. Now, his brother with 400 men, are they going to come and have a party? Was the object of Esau at that point in time to come and have a birthday party, a graduation party, a welcome home party, or what was the 400 men for? Well, it really was exactly what Esau thought was going, Jacob thought was going to be. Right? He could smite them. He could kill them. And kill me. Then Esau gets the land that's promised. Oh, that's a pretty big sign of fear, don't you think? So Esau had the upper hand at this particular point in time in the eyes of Jacob. He had the army. Jacob didn't. Jacob could not protect his family, so he divided them. Put them on this side with that camp, put them on this side with that camp, which angelic world, the Elohim, there to protect them. But where is Jacob going to be? Do you see, Jacob is not on this camp, and Jacob's not on that camp. Do you see what's happening to his life? He is with no camp whatsoever. He's going to be on his own. So maybe he has, you have mercy upon me. Please have mercy upon me. For which my staff I pass over this Jordan. Passed over, but he's not. He's not with them anymore. He was going to face death. He was going to face death. My family protected. Now I'm going to deal with my brother face to face. And of course, he did something to try to cool his big brother, I mean little brother, big brother down. Keep him from being angry. What did he do? What did he do? How many times? One, two, three times. Oh, isn't that an interesting number? Do you see a story? You see a picture? The third event is either you have life or you have death. Now, something happened in between event number one and two and three. Something else happened to Jacob during that time. What did Jacob have to face? He's on his own. He's not with his family. And he's trying to, quote, we think, appease his brother. Yes, okay. Take it as you wish to take it. And he divided his family, separated them from each other's, and he set them over the brook. And there he remained. Why did he remain? Yes.
You said he sent three gifts?
Three times.
Three times?
You remember what it says?
Yeah, but there's four different sets of different kinds of animals that he sent.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that a little later. Okay, okay. I'll just talk about the three right now. We'll go back to verse 19. So he commanded he the second and the third to follow. So the first one is verse 18. And he commanded another one to go, and then commanded another one to go. So three times he sent out an appeasement, you might call that, to his brother Esau. In the 33rd chapter, we'll have an answer to Esau's response to that. Right now, that's not what I want to talk about. Because the story here is an interesting story about a man named Jacob. Remember what his name means? The what? heel grabber. All right. Do you know what happens if you grab someone's heel? They fall. And they get hurt. Unaware that you grab their heel, bam, down they go. He didn't grab the front of his foot, right in front of him. He grabbed the backside. Boom, down Esau went. Spiritually speaking. Right? So that's why he was called. Now, as he crossed them over, verse 24. Now, I know this is just a story, right? So Rita has no bearing upon anything except Esau. I mean, Jacob, rather, had no relationship with us. We don't have to connect to it because, after all, I don't have two wives. I don't have seven kids. It must be Jacob's problem, not mine. And he said there that Jacob was left all alone. He fought and wrestled with Adam, a man, Ish, a man. And he, verse 25, I'm going to kind of make it clear. And when he, the man, saw that he, the man, prevailed, able to gain or accomplish or able to endure and be abide to research, not against him, the man realized he couldn't prevail against him. All of a sudden, he, the man, touched the hollow of his thigh, and we know this story, the thigh was out of joint. Pretty painful, you know. It's just to weaken your strength. Now, we go on with the story, and it says here, verse 26, and he, the man, said, let me go. Wait a minute. Who's got the upper hand here? Who has the upper hand here? Jacob has the upper hand. That man's wounded. That guy just injured him. He can't even walk anymore. He's in pain and in agony. And the man said, let me go. I can't prevail. I can't win. What do you mean you can't win? Just injured him. You already won, haven't you? You'll keep on killing him if you want to do. But he didn't, did he? And so we say, let me go, for the day breaks. Now, that's an interesting verse. Why must he depart before the day breaks? Just because he didn't like the sun? He wants to go back into darkness? He wants to go back into Hoshech? And this particular person said, well, Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go except you bless me. Now, that's really weird. Now, if I was in a quote, fight for my life, as he was, and I'm at the losing end of it, I'm really hurting my leg, I can't get up and keep fighting with him, I just can't do it, so I had to hang on to him somehow. I must be on the ground, unable to walk, you're in agony and pain, and apparently, somehow, quote, maybe Jacob had a death grip on this guy. I doubt it. He said, no, let me go. It's daytime now. He says, you ain't leaving me till you do what? I tell you, apologize for beating me up. Apologize for injuring my leg. You creepy old man or creepy young man. What are you doing? You hurt me and you want me to let you go before the sun comes up? No, I want you. I'm going to curse you. He didn't say that, did he? He said to this man, bless me. Oh, would you in your right mind, if you're fighting with somebody for your life and you have, quote, somehow trapped him, he's injured you, done damage to you, you're unable to really move around, and you realize he has really the upper hand on you, and all of a sudden you say, okay, let's quit. You win. No, bless me. Then I'll let you go. That's an odd thing, right? It's not natural for human beings to do that. And he said, okay. And he, the man, said unto him, Okay, well, what's your name, as if he didn't know? Jacob. He says, And the man said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel.
But he didn't really realize that he was already blessed. He already had everything.
You got that, but there was something he needed to have another blessing on. He needed to have a curse removed from his world. What was the curse that needed to be removed from his world? His name. His name had to be changed. Put you in a blunt sense, this is conversion. This is when Jacob actually was converted to the way God thinks. We'll see actions in his life so much different from this point on. That's what he had to pay attention to. Yes, the man blessed him with a name. But what else did he say? Why did he give him that name for? The rest of the sentence? For as a prince. Mean he's no longer just Jacob. Now he's a tsar. He is a prince. He's been raised up to a position of a prince. Thou hast power with the devil. What it says? No, with Elohim. Wow, what a blessing. Talk about a blessing. Incredible blessing. And you have power with men. Now, that's a very important reason why he said men. We'll get there. And you have prevailed. That really means to be able to gain or able to accomplish or able to endure. Able to endure and able to reach. Interesting name, right? So that name does not mean what you think it means. It means exactly what it says there. You are prince. You are prince, and this says with God, you are prince with God, because God now has made you a prince. Ellie.
Isn't there kind of a picture there that he's facing death, and in facing death, he is beat up to almost killing him, and then he awakens, and now he's a prince? Is that kind of messianic?
Now he has life. Now, it's very important to pay attention to what the man said about Jacob, why his name was changed to Israel, or Israel. Because his name is broken down in two different ways. Literally, Yisrael means, Yish is the word for, the vascular word for he. He. When it's got Yod in front, that means the he. Not a she, not a he. I'm not she or not it, but it's a he. So word first starts out with he, and then it says, Isha. What does Shah mean? Shar, rather. Ishar. Shar means what? Shar means what? Prince. He, prince. Do you see? We're looking at the name of Israel, and we're quite looking at the country of Israel, or maybe the people of Israel, and the story tells us something different, doesn't it? Now he, Sar, or prince, and the last word is El. He, Sar, Elohim. Or he, Sar, El. That's what it really, literally means. How many knew that? Don't you think it's fascinating? It tells you the identification of that name, and we think it means something like, what? A prevailer. Right? He prevails. That's not what the name means. Now, when we settle in your mind, God had him being converted to a certain thing. He was converted to a tsar with Elohim. as powerful and as mighty and as strong as Elohim. And God gave him that to prevail over his brother or man. All right. Remember, your brother's coming with 400 men? And Jacob said he's going to come to kill the family. And so he separated the family. He saw two camps. That camp of angel, that camp of angel. That family goes there, that family goes there. Because if Esau could kill one of them, at least I have the other one. That's his thinking. However, what's the God's thinking? So what did Jacob, let me ask you a really, really, really honest question. Don't have to answer it. Just answer inside yourself. If God was putting you in such a painful situation as you can't walk, and your family is going to be destroyed because the enemy is coming to wipe them out, and you have no power whatsoever to stop it, you have no influence with anybody to come to an end, and then lo and behold, what do? Well, he said, I'm going to have to, quote, I don't mean this literally, challenge God, end of quote, whether he said, according to his will, he will bring me back to where he wants me to go. Because what happened? Let's backtrack here. He said now, you have mercy upon me, and you said you would bring me back. Okay. Have you ever thought God wasn't going to bring you back? Oh, no, of course. He always brought you back. He had full confidence in him. You've never, ever doubted God at any point in time in life. I know that. You were more perfect than Jacob was. That's okay. What was Jacob supposed to learn from this point? I'm sorry, what? Good. Okay. Now we come up here. We find another interesting breaking down of that name. The first word, I told you, is the word for he. Sar can also be referring to see. He sees Elohim. But the definition of his word is in 28th chapter, 28th verse. So that is his name. He has power to prevail as a prince has power to prevail. When does a prince have power to prevail? When he has the power to do it, right?
Yeah.
Who was on his side? Two camps of the angelic world on his side with massive armies. He is now, quote, in charge of those two camps. Right? The angelic world has to be responsible for even what man, when God puts man in charge of them, they become responsible to the man. Right? Here we see Jacob, now a prince. He's in charge of the angelic beings on that side and on that side. He's their boss. Because God now just elevated him up to the height of Elohim himself. That's a pretty powerful statement, don't you think? And here we go to the past Apostle Paul, which means like, come on, what are you talking about, Apostle Paul? Don't you know that you will rule angels? Really? Yes.
Well, also, sometimes in our walk, it seems like we think, because God likes me, it should be smooth, and it should be not so hard. But it appears just the opposite, that you have to learn to stand up, be an adult, in order to achieve the directives that he wants to give you.
Yes, I understand. So, are we learning something about Jacob today? After the fighting, verse 29, and Jacob asked him, the man, and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And the man said, why? And he blessed him and left. We have no idea who the man was, do we? Now, we all interpret this way, we interpret that way. Each one has their own different opinion, different thoughts, different thinking, and that's fine. That's so hunky-dory. Think what you want to think and plan what you want to plan and believe what you want to believe. That's okay. I'm just looking at what it says. So I'm not going to add or subtract or assume. I'm going to say, man, this is what man had power to injure Jacob. And also had power to incredibly give him such an incredible, awesome name that, wow, where did he get the authority to do so? Well, it had to be from Elohim himself. I don't care who you think the man was or the man wasn't. It's unimportant. Later on, Scripture says he wrestled against the angelic being. That's what it says. Or the Melech. Fought against the Melech. And then Jacob called upon, called the name of the place Penuel. I have seen Elohim face to face. Now, did he really see him face to face? What does that Hebrew phrase mean, face to face? We think it means, well, I'm looking at your face, you're looking at my face. That's face to face, right? That's not what it means in Hebrew. Okay, let me put it this way. It's a plurality of world. You know, when you look at one another's face, what do you see? A face? Stop. You see eyes, nose, ears, mouth, chin, hair. You see everything. All at once. And you make it a single word, a face. Or in Hebrew, it says faces. You see a multiple things upon. Now, what was God wanting Jacob to, quote, see about God? That's what this phrase is all about. He didn't physically see the creator of heaven and earth. He saw something that God wanted to show him, and he saw what it was all about. Face to God did not backtrack. Remember he said, I talked face to face with Moses? Remember that phrase? So what did he do, huh?
He said, if I let you see me face to face, I'll kill you.
So what is he showing him? What did Elohim show him?
Well, the face-to-face that you mentioned, Moses, because that was, didn't God say that when he speaks, he spoke plainly to Moses?
Plainly.
He didn't hide things
from
him.
So it's showing it clearly to Jacob, where Jacob could understand it and see it and understand it with his own eyes, his own ears, his own mind, his own soul. Remember what Messiah said to his kids? Blessed are you, your eyes, they see. Blessed are you, your ears, you hear. What did they see? What did they see? What did they hear? Was it a noisy day? Did they finally heard the first time in life? No. They heard and understood exactly what God, in a sense, the Messiah was face to face with them, or the Father was face to face with them through the Messiah. Because he said, only God can let you see these things. Yes.
This is more significant in light of our Greek culture later, because all their gods had intermediaries. They were never direct.
Never direct.
And there was always a distance, and it was interpreted. Whereas this is always explaining that the Greek thinking is very different than the Hebrew relationship.
Relationship, right.
Okay. Had with God.
Yeah. So we're looking at here. I'm going to get back, I'm almost over, I'm not past time here. So I'm going to tell you what God saw him face to face with, and he says, I'm still alive, you know. It didn't mean he's going to, life is, he has been blessed. I have been blessed because I saw what did the first thing that God showed him face to face with. The angelic world. No one else saw it. Doesn't say his wife saw it, doesn't say his daughter saw it, doesn't say his servant saw it, no one else saw it. Jacob saw it. Jacob divided his camp from that side and that side. They didn't see the angelic world. He saw. So God was face to face with him. I have the power. And later on we see, I'm going to give you that power. Those angelic world are working for you from this point on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that hard to understand? That's why it's very important that we take the name Israel, and we have ruled. Basic literary in Hebrew means he rules as God. He rules as God. He judges as God. He commands as God. He orders as God orders. That's what the name means. Now, we know the man is one thing. But in the, quote, world to come, expect Jacob to be really Israel with that power. My life is preserved. Yes?
Does any of this apply to us today, anyway?
Okay. To apply to us today. That's a good question, isn't it? You have an answer?
Every week I cry out to God and I say, this is too big for me. This life is too big for me. I need to believe the truth. Help me. And I cling to him and he clings to me. And he tells me the truth of who he really is. Every week. And I would almost say on a daily basis. And that's the Jacob experience, isn't it?
That's the Jacob experience, okay. So what part in your world has God not shown you face to face who he is? Has he been loyal in showing you exactly who he is, what he does, how he thinks, how he walks, how he talks? So that's face to face. May not be Israel, but you get a chance to have communicate with God face to face. We're talking spiritually speaking here. We don't have to go through, quote, a mediator. In a sense, true mediator. We know that Messiah, quote, is the one we use his name to get the request. But he says, pray this way, hallowed be thy name. Talking about the Father, not about Yeshua.
Does it apply at all to the state of Israel or the nation?
Sorry, what?
Does it apply at all to the nation of Israel?
Not technically. Spiritually, no. Technically, yes. Not spiritually. Because the nation of Israel is not living up to, nor do they understand, because the eyes have not been opened, the veil has not been lifted from them, the shingles are still there, along with a bunch of Gentiles, the veil is still there amongst Gentiles, and they can't see, they have no idea why his name was called Yisrael. But you understand what I'm saying? Blessed be us that God lets us see what he wants us to see and understand. Will you be able to explain to somebody? Probably not.
I was just thinking this is only one shade of this chapter. But I was thinking about how Jacob wrestled so hard with that man. And somehow he knew he had some connection with God. But
it's a one-to-one basis. He knew one-to-one.
Yeah, but what he was wrestling with God for was a blessing. And it doesn't necessarily tell you exactly what he was looking for.
It doesn't.
But it occurred to me today reading through this that Jacob spent his entire life trying to save himself.
Right.
He, you know, bought something from his brother because he wanted it. He was afraid to fight. Right. But he had to. Right. But he struggled for things that he thought that he needed in his life. And then he fought with Laban for 14 years, basically.
Well, he struggled with his brother, father-in-law.
Right. Yeah. So.
He struggled with his own brother Esau.
Right. So it just occurred to me and how you said that this was Jacob's conversion, and it struck me that
his mind changed.
God finally showed him, you can't save you.
It is all about.
I have to save you. I'm the Savior. I'm the one that will make your life what it's supposed to be.
John?
To add to the answer to Bill's question, when you look at Revelation, when Yeshua said, to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. Here we have a Torah example of a man who prevailed and became a very different man after this experience.
Very different man.
I would say also that Jacob was a link prophetically, in as much as the three patriarchs proved faithful, and Jacob's sons the reaction of that faithfulness, and particularly of Abraham, we have with us today. And as much as I think many of us in here know that the United States of America and Great Britain represent the Ephraimites and the Manassites to a great extent.
To an extent.
So we're very much living that part of it still today.
Right.
I will say the promise is being taken away from us. What happened this past week is maybe one of the last nails in the coffin that will take it all away from us.
The name of Jacob was planned by God to be named that way. So we see here in the 32nd chapter what changes.